Aversion Therapy by Entangled Now, read by DePatty. A Teen Wolf fic pairing Derek Stiles, rated mature, written for Teen Wolf Reverse Bang. Summary: if Stiles had more than a second to think about it, he probably would have remembered that his spur-of-the-moment ideas weren't always his best ones. Additional notes following the fic. It didn't seem like a good idea at the time, though if Stiles had more than a second to think about it, he probably would have remembered that spur-of-the-moment ideas weren't always his best ones. That sometimes, in fact, they went spectacularly wrong. But he doesn't have a lot of choice right now. The rest of the pack is a mess. Isaac slumped against the side of the trash movie theater, still trying to heal whatever getting smashed into the wall had done to him. Erica's not moving. Boyd looks dead on his feet, and Derek is about to get gutted by something that looks like a giant gorilla which had stolen the claws and teeth from the entire rest of the animal kingdom. The only weapon Stiles has is roughly 2 tons of steel, which he is currently in control of, so he makes a judgment call and hits the gas. "Stiles, what are you doing?" Scott's voice is high and scrambling closer, as if he can't believe even Stiles would be this crazy. There's a "What the hell?" and more than a little "Are you insane?" crammed in there somewhere too. But Stiles is pretty much committed at this point. Scott grabs hastily and blindly for something to hold on to and then swears, which is how Stiles knows that this is bad, because Scott never swears. Stiles doesn't really blame him, though, because he knows a thing or two about physics and the relative mass and speed of objects colliding. He thinks this is probably going to hurt. There are no real words to describe impact. It's like the whole world is suddenly made of noise and things breaking, and Stiles can't help but think suddenly about the fact that he's really just a fragile bag of bones and blood, before he slams into the side of the door hard enough that he wonders for a second if he's actually gone through it. It's very confusing for a second, or maybe less than a second, probably not even half a second really. He feels like he's moving, but not moving, and he thinks he hits his head more than once. The world is spinning weirdly, and oh right, rolling, he's rolling, and up and down no longer apply for a sickening period of time, which he's not enjoying at all. Everything hurts, and he really wishes it would stop. As suddenly as that, it does. He's not rolling anymore, but he can't hear anything. He can barely drag in a breath, and there's blood dripping in his eyes. Someone's shouting his name, shouting it like they've been trying to get his attention for a while, all wavering panic and screeches of metal. Scott comes into focus. There's blood on his face. There's blood all over his face. Stiles wants to tug him closer, check he's okay, until he remembers that Scott's always okay now. He's a werewolf, so he's always going to be okay, which is when the shaky relief sinks in. Scott doesn't look relieved at all, though. Stiles can't understand why that's so surprising, until he can. What the hell did he do to his jeep? "Stiles, are you okay?" The words shake out of Scott between bursts of air. The answer to that question is absolutely and definitely no. So much in the way of no. Stiles is really not okay. No. Everything still hurts, and he's bleeding from somewhere, because it's still dripping on him, and it's horrible. Until Stiles tries to move and discovers that horrible was the understatement of the fucking century. There need to be new words invented immediately so he can use them. He stops trying to move, which all of his self-preservation instincts are screaming at him to do right now, and he whimpers in a way that isn't manly or heroic at all. He's broken something, and he has to have broken something. No one could be in this much pain and still have everything attached. He really, really hopes everything is still attached. "Don't move," Scott says, threatening and panicked, because he always knows stuff after everyone else. Stiles wants to throw him a "really, you think?" expression, but he's a little busy trying not to die from injuries that he's not entirely sure of the extent of yet. Scott's already clambering carefully over to him from wherever he was thrown when Stiles' door gets ripped off. It's a lot of noise and movement he's not expecting, and he jars everything trying to flinch away from it, world going gray at the edges. And of course it's Derek. Of course Derek is the one who's being loud and breaking his things, and Stiles is absolutely going to complain about that at some point. Derek's angry face kind of spasms, and then he drops in favor of something that looks sort of ill. which means Styles is probably going to die. That's not a comforting expression at all. Not even a little bit. Scott passes something to Boyd, and Styles registers that it's part of his Jeep, and he's probably going to need that back, unless he doesn't, because he's lying in a mangled wreck of it, and it's clearly totaled. This is officially the worst day ever. There's something squashy under his head, something that squeaks like leather, and Styles is probably getting blood all over it, which he suspects Derek will be pissed about, even though there's probably enough of Derek's blood ground into it that only someone with superhuman senses would be able to tell the difference. Styles notices then, belatedly, but he figures someone will cut him a break, that his arm is at a really weird angle, as if it doesn't join his body properly anymore. He panics for a second that his arm isn't attached to his body before he realizes that his shoulder is dislocated, which is better. Horrible and gross, but significantly better than gone, or missing, or unattached. Derek shifts a little closer, and Styles' panic skips up several notches. Don't touch it, don't touch it, he says in what he hopes is a firm and controlled tone of voice, but probably isn't. It's probably squeaky and panicked and half crazy. He's working with what he's got here. No one's going to touch it, Scott says quietly, though Styles can feel where his hands fisted in the fabric of his shirt, lowered down, as if he's prepared to make sure, and that does get a huffy little noise out of him, not a laugh, something breathless and dizzy and pained. Where's Bigfoot? Styles manages shakily. Bigfoot's dead, Erica says from somewhere to his left. She looks waxy but conscious, and her eyes are fixed on the horrible bend of his arm. You did good. Thank God for that, seriously, because Styles thinks he's going to have to take a break from doing things for a while. Doing things is really bad for his health, though he thinks there are probably endorphins, or he's in shock or something, because he doesn't hurt as much as it did. In fact, he can barely feel his shoulder at all. It should hurt more, right? Why doesn't it hurt? He complains. I should hurt more. Am I in shock? I don't feel like I am in shock. How much blood has he lost exactly? Should he be panicking more than he is already? He looks down. They're all touching him. The whole pack is touching him, which makes sense, and that's kind of awesome. But Styles thinks they should probably get rid of Bigfoot before the emergency services get here. He tells them as much. They only keep him in hospital a couple days. He's kind of surprised about that. Not that he wants to stay, God no. He's just surprised that they couldn't find a reason to keep him in longer. Because he feels like someone shook him so hard that his internal organs haven't had a chance to settle yet. But they pop his arm back in, which is exactly as horrible as it sounds, put a bunch of stitches in his shoulder and the side of his chest. He hadn't even known he'd slam into metal hard enough to cut himself. And give him a bunch of tests to make sure he's not bleeding into any cavities that aren't supposed to be bled into. Then by noon the next day, he's given a satisfying supply of the good drugs in a dramatic but restrictive sling, and his dad's taking him home. He pretty much sleeps through until the next morning anyway, though. Whoever was in charge of his drugs is an awesome, awesome person. Izzy was officially dead, mostly due to impact damage, possibly also due to general lycanthropic destruction. But he's blaming it on Bigfoot, because he's a good friend, and also because of the amazing drugs. Styles still smells like hospitals. He has a ton of bruises in a variety of colors, and he really wants a shower, but he doesn't feel up to taking anything off. He's fairly certain that his clothes and his sling are doing an awesome double-team job of holding him together right now, in a way that feels pretty reassuring. He doesn't want to mess with that. He has to wear the sling for 2 weeks, but he's already certain that the flailing around with one arm is going to be preferable to accidentally bashing his right arm against something, even with the good drugs. The good drugs are not up to the challenge of smothering the sort of pain that threatened to white out his vision and take his knees out from under him when he jarred his arm trying to dress to go home. His dad's hovering, like he doesn't really want to go to work, like maybe he never wants to leave the house again, which is kind of awful. Styles is a terrible son, because his dad's under the impression that he got plowed by a drunk driver rather than what actually happened. His own recklessly stupid idea to try to slam into a Bigfoot at speed to save his werewolf friends. Because, yeah, put like that, Styles isn't sure how he could explain that to anyone. You want me to stop after work for groceries? Styles shakes his head carefully so he doesn't jostle anything, which will regret it later. Scott's already offered to pick up some stuff. He said he was going anyway. Styles is not doing a fantastic job of eating breakfast with his left hand, but he has an acceptable enough spoon-to-mouth ratio that he's going to consider it workable. You sure? Yeah, Scott's good. Scott is the best. That doesn't seem to help as much as he expected. You realize he probably feels guilty that he didn't get hurt and you did. His dad gives him a significant look. Yeah, I know. Scott was lucky. I'm not going to ruthlessly milk his survivor guilt or anything. His dad gives him a sharp look at his choice of phrasing, but then puts a hand on his good shoulder and carefully squeezes. Because yes, Styles knows he scared the crap out of him. He does. And he feels guilty enough about that for the both of them. When the door shuts, Styles eyeballs the long spatter of milk he's left on the table. Considering the amount of unnecessary movement he makes in a day, you'd think nature would have given him more fine motor control on his left hand. No, this is his fault. Taking his left hand for granted all these years. This is what laziness gets you. He stalls over his breakfast until his dad leaves, because he doesn't want to see that stiff look anymore. The one that says his dad thinks he should have done something. Which isn't fair at all, because Styles, well, he didn't hurt himself on purpose. Not intentionally on purpose, but the whole thing is kind of self-inflicted. And, okay, he's not badly hurt, but that doesn't matter. Because he saw photos of his Jeep and he knows it looked like the Hulk had just smashed a fist straight into it. Then ripped the doors off. Then jumped on it a few times. He texts Scott, awkwardly, with his left hand, and only 50% of the words spelled right. Normally he's kind of anal about that, but his perfectionism is on vacation. Which is lucky, since he's already thrown milk all over his pants. He sits on the table, heels drumming on the chair legs below him until the doorbell goes. Then he slides off and goes to answer it. Only, Scott McCall is not at his door with groceries. Derek Hale is at his door with groceries. Styles gets stuck there. He looks from Derek to the bags he's carrying, and then back to Derek again. What are you doing here? He asks curiously. Scott said you needed these. Derek gestures with the bags, as if that answers everything. It really doesn't. What happened to Scott? He's probably wearing slightly too much of a suspicious squint, but in his defense, Derek, groceries. I told him he could go see Allison. That makes no sense, because this is probably the one time Scott wouldn't abandon him for Allison, which means that Derek must have suggested it. Derek must have suggested, without any arguing, that he bring Styles his groceries, and even then Styles is pretty sure Scott wouldn't have given in right away. Derek would have to have insisted. Styles tries to imagine that, but his brain's just not up to it. You bribed him with Allison so you could bring me groceries. It sounds even less likely out loud. Derek is still frowning on his doorstep. Styles should probably let him in, but this is strange. He's never seen Derek at his front door before. He opens the door awkwardly, and then realizes he doesn't have a free hand to gesture him inside, so kind of multitasks with the ones that's holding the door. Derek coming through the front door is weirdly different from Derek coming in through the window. Styles has the weirdest urge to treat him like a guest, rather than some sort of constant supernatural home invasion he has to grudgingly put up with. Scott made a list, Derek says, and makes an awkward attempt to go for his pocket and maybe produce it before stopping himself. So everything should be right. Styles stops, and if Derek had been anyone else, he would have slammed straight into him. Wait, you actually went grocery shopping? He didn't just hand the stuff over and bail? Really? Derek looks offended by all the surprise. He seems to be taking Styles' disbelief as some sort of personal insult. I do know how to buy groceries, Derek says very slowly, wearing his "you're an idiot" expression, though it gradually shifts into something more offended when Styles doesn't stop looking surprised. No, I know. I mean, obviously you do. It's just, I'm sorry. I can't picture you shopping with all the ordinary people. It's just not dramatic enough. I have trouble picturing you doing non-dramatic things in general. You didn't hurt anyone, did you? Because they pushed you with a shopping cart or stole the last cans of beans or something? No, Derek says stiffly. This is weird. Don't pull that face at me. It's weird. Styles cautiously takes a bag from him and, oh yes, it's heavy and that's awkwardly painful. He sets it on the counter and the way Derek takes an abortive step forward is really easy to read. I got this, Styles tells him when he looks like he's thinking about whether to help put stuff away. Derek is not a domestic wolf. He should not do domestic tasks. This is damaging to Styles' worldview. But Derek still hovers in an awkward and ever so slightly creepy way while Styles takes care of it. And then he hovers some more when Styles stares at him expectantly. I should go, Derek says at last. Okay. Thanks, Styles says, which he manages not to turn into a question, but it still sort of hangs in midair, uncertain, because that's what you do when people pick up groceries for you. You thank them politely, which is weird, because Styles hadn't thought he and Derek had a thanking each other politely sort of relationship. And then Derek just leaves, as if he hadn't wanted him for anything else. Styles is worried that maybe he slipped up and took twice as many pills as the bottle told him to. Forgetting shit like that wasn't good for you. Scott shows up later after school, though judging by the smile he's wearing, Styles isn't going to get any sense out of him. That smile has Allison written all over it. Scott does wince when he sees him, though. He does that every time. Like, it keeps slipping his mind that, yeah, he was in a car crash 3 days ago. You sent Derek to buy groceries, Styles accuses, pretty much straight away. He's expecting some sort of guilt or surprise or something, but he's sadly disappointed because Scott just nods. Yeah, did he get everything? Styles squints at him to check if he's serious. Yes, he got everything. Cool, Scott decides, and then fishes in his backpack. Like that isn't even a thing. I brought you homework. Allison and Isaac helped because I knew I'd miss something. Dude, I know you can probably do more with one hand than I can do with two, and wow, that sounded unexpectedly dirty. Scott grins, and Styles has to wonder whether he missed something important. Are they all awkward friends now, that do friend chores for each other without ulterior motives? Did this horrible traumatizing injury actually get everyone to chill the hell out? Derek is lurking outside his window again. Styles' phone tells him it's almost midnight, and that's about an hour past where it officially becomes weird. Even on his new adjusted for werewolf scale of weird, he's literally just taking his pills so he can sleep without the throbbing in his shoulder keeping him awake. Normally, Styles would just roll his eyes, go to bed, and let Derek do his thing, but he spent all day on pain medication and caffeine, slowly going out of his mind. So he stomps downstairs and out into the yard. It's cold and he doesn't have any shoes on, and Derek comes over straight away, takes one look at his feet, and then hustles him back into the house, using a combination of concerned glaring and looming. And it's kind of annoying how he can loom when he has like half an inch on Styles. Okay, more like 2 inches since he's barefoot, but still. He's not even embarrassed about letting Derek hustle him anywhere right now, because he currently still feels like he's made of very fine sticks. He pours Derek a glass of orange juice. He doesn't have a clue why. Maybe the caffeine and the medication. It's just this weird disconnect that there's a visitor in the kitchen and he should be a good host and offer something. Still, he's not quite sure why he immediately decides on orange juice. Derek looks briefly confused, but he drinks it anyway. Vitamin C is probably good for you, whether you're a werewolf or not. Is there some sort of supernatural menace that is lurking around the neighborhood or something? Styles asks. No. Derek frowns, as if even the idea of it is stupid. Did you want me to look something up for you? No, Derek says. Which, good, because Styles doesn't do his best work while still mostly post-dislocated, medicated, and his bruises won't really let him lean anywhere comfortably yet. Then why are you here? He doesn't manage suspicious there. He makes it sound more as if Derek is some tricky math problem that he's not sure how to go about solving. I was in the neighborhood, Derek says with a hint of annoyance. He may have caught the math problem thought and been offended by it. I thought I'd check up on you. On your way to where? Styles can't help asking. Styles thinks Derek's trying for a that's important werewolf business that I can't tell you about expression. Where in actual fact Styles is going to forever tag it as his caught trying to make up some bullshit expression. I should get back, Derek says, possibly because Styles' expression has given away that he's now an accomplished bullshit detector. Do you want a sandwich? Styles asks, because he really wants a sandwich now, and Derek needs to stop lurking outside and socialize more, because, seriously, eventually someone is going to see him and call the cops, and they all know how that ends. How it has actually ended before. There are only so many times Derek can get arrested before something sticks. So yes, They should combine sandwiches and socializing into some sort of mutual late night thing. A sandwich social? Derek gives him the weirdest look. It's gone midnight, he points out. Styles pulls a face at him. So? What, it's too late for sandwiches, but not to lurk outside my window? Also, you would be wrong, because it's never too late for sandwiches. Pfft. Don't even pretend you've never made midnight sandwiches and told ghost stories under a sheet. Every kid's done that. He's already deciding which things out of the fridge would make the best sandwich, whether he's in a meat or cheese or miscellaneous sort of mood, whether there should be bacon involved. That's a stupid question. There should always be bacon involved. He's already sort of half in the fridge, and it's cold, and there's plenty of bacon, but Derek's quiet, and so he twists around to look at him and finds him right behind him. He could have taken one more step and been pressed all along Styles' back. Jesus! Derek's holding the fridge door open so he doesn't swing shut on his bad arm. Bacon? Styles offers because he's considering it. Derek sighs, like he has a million other things he could be doing, and he's grudgingly spending time in Styles' kitchen, having an opinion on sandwiches. Styles, I should. You should like bacon, Styles finishes for him, which probably wasn't what Derek was going for there, but it's true. What sort of werewolf doesn't like bacon? What sort of werewolf doesn't like bacon? Because that's a thought he has to share out loud. There's a minute of tense silence. Styles isn't sure why it's tense exactly. Bacon. Derek agrees reluctantly and then breathes out, as if they've been having an argument which Styles had unexpectedly won. I knew you had to have taste in something. Styles starts piling butter, cheese, and lettuce into Derek's free hand. 4 days is long enough to stay home. Any longer, and Styles is going to start carving messages into the walls, possibly in his own blood. Most of the bruises are starting to mute into yellowy browns, and okay, they're still there, but not in a way that's obvious and noticeable anymore. They sort of blend in with the rest of him. Also, he's mostly worked out how to wear the sling and do 80% of things with his left hand without spilling things all over himself. There is still a little spilling things all over himself, but not in a way anyone seems to notice, which, come to think of it, isn't exactly flattering. He told Scott that he needed a ride to school for all the foreseeable future, and he's still pissed about that. But Scott had said, no problem. So Styles assumed since his mom was on night shifts this week, she was letting him use the car, because yeah, Scott's mom is awesome like that. Only, it's not Scott waiting at the end of the drive. Not unless Scott has stolen Derek's car, and also Derek's body, which even thinking about that is a level of creepy he doesn't want to cope with. Not that Scott would steal Derek's body and wear it, because, okay, that's more than enough of that train of thought. He lets his bag hit the ground. What are you doing here? Scott said you needed a ride, Derek says. Styles can't tell if he's angry or not, because he's wearing sunglasses. He's cloaking any and all possible anger behind them, and that bland, not even close to a smile thing that his face does when it's not being grumpy or miserable, or frustrated by the constant teenage angst of his werewolf pack. That was not the agreement. That was not what I meant. I didn't expect you. Is Derek just randomly hanging around waiting to do things for him? Only, no, he's obviously not because that would be insane. There's clearly something going on here that he's not aware of. Derek mouth glares at him. By which I mean you totally don't have to, Styles amends, when he realizes the first thing out of his mouth might have sounded horrified and ungrateful. Because Derek is clearly in a super pissy mood this morning, and much as Styles usually kind of enjoys poking that, he just doesn't have the energy. Get in the car. Derek has a problem with over-enunciation, and not in a good way. Someone should bring that up at some point. Styles tries for a what the fuck no head jerk and mostly messes it up. There are twinges. There are painful twinges everywhere. Get in the car, Styles. Derek says quieter now, without so much murder behind it. Oh my god, fine. It's not like you can make my reputation any worse, Styles says with a sigh, and awkwardly eases himself in beside Derek. He's joking, but Derek's grumpy mouth looks mortally wounded, like he thinks Styles actually gives a crap about his reputation, or like Derek can make it any worse. No, actually, he probably could. Derek had obviously lost the ability to be embarrassed years ago. I thought you took Erica and Isaac. I did that already. You took them to school early? Wow, yeah, they're going to be so happy about that. Is that my fault? Because that'll be awesome. It'll be awesome explaining to them later about how it's my fault they got to school at like 6 in the morning. How's your arm? Derek asks, which completely derails Styles' rant, possibly on purpose. Still attached, thanks, which is awesome. I'm enjoying the fact that I will eventually regain use of my arm and all of its arm-like qualities. Styles is fully expecting a glare, maybe some bitching about his sarcasm, a creative threat. Instead, Derek's mouth just thins out and he nods. Good. God, it's like being in a car with a pod person. Derek normally only has his moments of weirdly protective irritation during life or death situations. Maybe this time it was delayed or something. Is he getting delayed concern overlaid with a smattering of guilt? You realize I'm not going to get kidnapped or crash another car, which I don't have. You might have noticed that I don't have another car. You don't have to. Styles gestures at the car, and Derek in general, at whatever Derek's doing, which there's really no appropriate gesture for. What with it all still being a mystery? Derek just shoots him the "you're an idiot" look, and they've stopped. They have achieved proximity to school. Forgive me for reminding you, because you seem to be lurking around like you're waiting for something horrible to happen to me, so you can save me. Like, it's your turn and you have to get it out of the way. I've told you before that this is not like a barter system. This is not a goods for services kind of relationship. This is being friends. He carefully moves his hand back and forth between them, just in case Derek doesn't get it. More mouth glares. There is so much mouth glaring going on right now. Don't even look at me like that. We're friends. I've decided now. You're officially my creepy friend. Everyone should have a creepy friend. Styles isn't exactly sure if creepy friend and the stupidly hot friend are allowed to be the same person, though. You'd think they'd be mutually exclusive. Styles, I am not your creepy friend. Derek sounds insulted. You're creepy, and you're my friend. It's already a done deal, I'm afraid. Where's my bag? Derek picks it up off the floor and then carefully loops it over Styles' good shoulder before leaning across to open the door for him. Go, learn things. Don't jostle your shoulder. Creepy friend. Creepy friend, Styles insists, and carefully pushes the door shut. Derek's what? Scott's forehead is creased with confusion. I think he's gone crazy. He's acting like a crazy person. It can't just be me. He's doing things for me and being nice. Does he want something? Did he say anything about wanting something? He's being nice, and I realize I've now said that twice, but it's sort of a thing, and I need to hear myself say it out loud, because though I wouldn't worry about that from anyone else, it's Derek. Is there some sort of magical explanation that could? Styles gestures vaguely, and then when that isn't helpful, just sort of stabs at the air with his fingers. Explain why he's acting like he wants to be a person, like witches? Some sort of pollen? There's pollen that does that, right? Or fairies? Though I do not want to exist in a world where fairies can do things like that to you whenever they want. They won't be Disney fairies, will they? They'll be like proper old world fairies made of blood and teeth. The type that steal children and eat your eyeballs and feed you things, which mean you can never leave or you fall asleep for 100 years. And I'm pretty sure I'm getting my mythology mixed up. But what does it matter when it's all creepy, creepy shit? What? Scott shakes his head. I lost most of that after you mentioned pollen. Wait, there's pollen that can make you crazy? His face looks horrified, and Styles kind of thinks he's missing the point here. Focus, Scott. Derek is acting seriously weird. Don't you think he's acting weird? Because to Styles, it's kind of obvious. And it's weird that no one else is mentioning it. I haven't noticed anything, Scott says with a shrug. He's just acting like Derek. He is not acting like Derek, Styles protests. He drove me to school! He hisses this last part like he's afraid someone will overhear. Scott shrugs and gestures towards where Styles' arm is still in a sling. Like, that explains everything. In Scott's brain, it probably does. He's being nice, Styles says. Scott doesn't have an immediate response to that, and that proves Styles' point. Okay, maybe it's a little out of character, Scott says at last, but it's no reason to go and throw holy water on him, or whatever works for pollen people. Styles shakes his head because clearly Scott is not getting this. He ate all my bacon, Styles offers because that's genuinely the last argument he has. Scott raises an eyebrow and then seems to be waiting for some sort of punchline. So, okay, maybe Styles got a little off track here. He's blaming the medication. Never mind, you really think it's okay for Derek to be wandering around out there, possibly being insane, when there might be something dangerous doing things to people? Well, if there is anything dangerous out there, it's not like Derek would let anything happen to you, Scott says. And Styles is officially lost. What? What's this supposed to mean? Scott snags the door Styles has just backed his way through so he doesn't swing around and hit him. You know, what with his thing. I know I can be slow sometimes, so it took me a while to get it, but you know exactly why. What? Styles has officially lost his grip on the conversation. Scott shakes his head, like Styles is honestly baffling him. Okay, it was kind of weird at first because it's Derek, but I figured you were Scott. Allison's waving cautiously for Scott's attention from across the room. Styles gets a careful pat on his bad shoulder. On his bad shoulder, Scott, you douche. And then Scott's flinging his bag onto his back and scurrying off to bask in the glory of her face or something equally ridiculous. Styles guesses he'll just bask in the glory of his chicken sandwich then, by himself. Styles is not in a good mood come Sunday. He's supposed to be easing off the medication, but he's rolling onto his arm in the night, and he's more aware of it than ever. Now it's somewhere between the muffled cotton wool stiffness from before and a new but persistent gnawing discomfort. It never quite slips into pain, not bad enough to actually take anything for it. It's just there. Healing is bullshit, and he's never been so annoyed that werewolves get to go through the whole thing on fast forward, especially considering how much they still complain about it. So he's not going to have a shower this morning. He's not even going to make an attempt at moving his arm in any way until after he's had breakfast and made sure today is completely aware of how unhappy with it he is. He can hear his dad moving around in the kitchen, which is odd because Styles swore that he said he was working an early shift today. So yeah, that's weird. Not weird enough that he's going to force himself to get up and go down there just to find out he's taking a shift off for some reason. Not for Styles, or he assumes not for him. He's been in the hospital long enough now that his dad stopped looking at him like he thinks he might crack if jostled the wrong way, which is a relief because he really hated that look. So Styles doesn't exactly rush. He doesn't even bother to change. He just stumbles downstairs as he is, only to stop halfway because there's an odd sort of rumbling noise coming from the kitchen, one that doesn't fit in the normal side of his life. One that he is more used to encountering when he's running and screaming and werewolves. He leans carefully on the door frame, one hand wrapped around the wood. Dad? He calls cautiously. It's not his dad. It's Derek. It's Derek standing in the middle of his kitchen, glaring into a bowl, wooden spoon held like an implement of death, or soon to be death. And if Styles hadn't been wandering around for 20 minutes, he would have immediately slapped himself to make sure he was actually awake. Derek? Derek eyes him over the bowl. The kitchen is a disaster of flour, sugar, and broken eggs. It looks like someone had a fight in here, a fight which they lost. Is he wearing an apron? What are you doing? Styles hears himself say. There's a healthy dose of, "What the fuck are you doing?" going on in his voice, but he's not sure if it's enough, if it could ever be enough. There's a smear of batter on Derek's cheek, Styles notices absently, which is probably going to be hell to get out of his stubble. Making pancakes, Derek explains, then glares into the bowl he's holding, then glares at Styles, as if he's annoyed at the interruption to his pancake making. The groceries Styles can handle, the protective stocking he can handle, the carrying heavy objects, driving him to school, and helping him with his arm, he can handle. This is disturbing. This is an alternate universe. He's not sure if he can handle this. Oh my god, did I wake up in an alternate universe? Is this a universe where you can bake in my kitchen and I'm not supposed to be surprised by that? Is Scott gonna come through the door sporting an evil goatee? Will there be stormtroopers in this universe? Styles has gradually made his way into the kitchen through his speech, and now he's within poking distance of both Derek and the suspicious bowl of batter. He's not sure that's an improvement to the situation. Derek continues glaring. Honestly, he could probably make balloon animals in a sinister and threatening way, but now Styles is closer, he can see the spots of beige on Derek's shirt. He can smell the batter, and it's very real. But he still has no idea why. How do you even know how to make pancakes? He asks quietly. I looked it up on the internet. Derek says stiffly, and okay, yes. Styles sometimes forgets that just because he lives in a creepy, burnout house in the middle of nowhere with no water or power, He's not actually a savage wild man. Derek grew up normal, after all. Until, yeah, that happened. Why? Styles isn't sure whether he's going to regret asking or not. Why is my question? Why are you making pancakes? Derek's face goes through some sort of complicated internal fight. Oh my god, Styles says, because he actually knows the answer to this, strange as it may sound. This is because I said I wanted them the other day, isn't it? Derek refuses to confirm or deny that, but his face is not under his control right now. Styles isn't sure whether he can cope with this. He looks around the kitchen, attempts to grab at something less disturbing, finds something almost straight away. Dude, how did you get batter all over the fridge? Derek glares at the fridge. Balancing the bowl in one hand wasn't a good idea, he growls out. Like, it's just the latest in a series of bad life choices he's made. He looks like he wants to slam the bowl down into something, and the only thing stopping him is that it's not his bowl. I was going to clean it all up afterwards. Styles is going to ignore the last part for now. Okay, I'm guessing baking isn't really your thing then. Derek surprises him by looking something other than annoyed, some sort of brief, wry amusement that still manages to give the impression it wants to smack him. But you decided you'd power through, using your finely honed determination in a rage and sheer stubbornness, Styles guesses. Batter drips off the bottom of the bowl, and Styles may be grinning now. Derek doesn't seem to find this half as funny, though the murderous intent seems to be going. You're kind of bad at it, Styles admits. Derek sighs and tosses the spoon he's holding in the sink. I know, he says thinly. I don't even know what I was thinking. He takes two steps and tips the bowl, like he's going to pour the whole lot away. Styles darts forward and curls his fingers of his good hand around it, tipping it straight again. Hey, no, I didn't mean it like that. I was just surprised. It was surprising. I was genuinely surprised. You realize you can buy pancakes, though. That's a thing you can do, which some people do when they feel like the grand pancake-making adventure is beyond their skills. Derek continues to glare, which Styles is unnerved to discover still works over the top of a bowl full of eggs and flour and milk. He's starting to think he might know what's going on here, and he doesn't like it. It makes him feel a lot like he's been kicked. Is this, like, a thing? He asks, fingers still holding the bowl. Where I get smashed up protecting the pack, and you kind of make the scales even or something? Because if it is, then it's fine. You know, weird overtures of a confusing nature accepted and whatever. I'm not protecting you guys to be owed anything. We're all in this together, right? You have my back, I have yours. It doesn't have to be a thing. We're even, Derek. You don't have to do this. I don't want you to feel like you owe me anything. That isn't why I do it. You know that. That's not what it is, Derek says, mouth pinched, like he's angry at Styles for coming to the wrong conclusion. Honestly, Derek gets mad at people for flailing around in the dark, but he's usually the one standing right next to the light switch. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I mean, really, I do appreciate it. But this is weird. Do you not get how weird this is? Most of our interactions before now have consisted of glaring, throwing me around, and pushing me out of danger. And this is... Styles waves his free hand around helplessly, trying to explain that this is like pod person levels of strange. Seriously, you can stop. Really, you can totally stop now. Seriously, stop it. Because I can't handle you being nice to me. I keep getting this weird urge to run for the books and check if you're possessed. Do you get how terrifying it is that I have been seriously considering the fact that you might be possessed? I almost researched that yesterday. I almost researched the fact that you might be possessed because you were being nice. That sounds kind of awful said out loud. Derek very carefully sets the bowl down on the table, angrily wipes his hands on his jeans, leaving tacky smears of beige. Then he just stares around him at the devastation, like he has no idea what he's doing. Styles feels as if he's literally kicked a puppy, which isn't fair because in this scenario, the puppy is Derek, and that's just not right. Styles sighs and bends down, pulls a pan out. You hold that. Styles passes it over, and Derek stares at him for a second and then takes it. You can pour, but I'm turning, because I suspect you'll burn things, which is unacceptable. Though you have to hold onto the pan, or they'll just be pancakes all over the floor, which is some sort of terrible blasphemy, and I will make you eat them. It's still weird. It's weird and different. Like they skipped about a dozen steps of awkward friendship and went straight to cooking each other breakfast or something. Which, seriously, does that even happen? Why is he not surprised it had happened to them? Nothing normal ever happens in his life anymore. Styles would be more worried about that, but the pancakes are really good. Also, his arm doesn't actually hurt anymore. His dad gives him a lift to school on Monday because he's starting work late, and Styles thinks at some point that they're gonna have the car discussion. Probably not now, not while he's still wearing a sling, because that's something of a focal point, something that reminds everyone fairly obviously what happened the last time he was in charge of a vehicle, which was totally not his fault, or, okay, yes, it was absolutely his fault, but in his defense, it was to kill a Bigfoot, which had already proven itself a danger to the public, also saving Derek's ass, and it's a bitch that he can't actually say any of that, because he thinks the conversation would go a lot better if he could, though it may also involve the phrase reckless endangerment. So yeah, at some point they're gonna have the car discussion, because if Styles has to rely on other people for transportation for too long, he's going to go completely mad. Scott's late, which means he's left trying to jam everything into his bag himself, with one arm, and he's had a week to get used to this, but he still mostly sucks at it. Until Erica appears from nowhere and starts helping, before he can say anything or drop anything or protest that he's not feeble and he does still actually have one working arm. Though, it's not exactly easy because the whole werewolf thing seems to be immediately bestow some sort of tremble all over everyone else mentality, which explains a lot if he thinks about it. Did you and Derek have a fight? Erica asks. He was in a mood all day yesterday, worse than usual. Styles frowns. No, we didn't have a fight. I may have accused him of being a lunatic and also briefly of being possessed, but I apologize for that. There was no actual fighting. Does he know that? Because training doesn't usually involve so much flying through the air. It's like he wasn't even trying to let us win. Erica tilts her head and stares at him, as if that might be all his fault. Then carefully thumps his bag into his chest, like she's trying to make a point without actually hurting him. Just kiss and make up or whatever, she says sharply. We can't take getting thrown into many more walls under the blatant false pretext of training. What? Styles doesn't understand why it's his fault that Derek is insane all of a sudden, but Eric gives him a look, a this is not funny, I'm serious look, and then swirls herself away. The world has gone mad. Styles doesn't see Derek until after 7. He's trying to decide whether he can be bothered to even make an attempt at homework because writing with his left hand sucks. It's legible, mostly. It just takes forever and makes it look like he's suffering from something contagious. Typing with his left hand is easier, but takes too long, and he ends up with a logjam of words between brain and fingers that leaves him stabbing at the keys harder than he probably should. Having a dislocated shoulder is frustrating. He registers a blast of cold air and a soft sound of boots on wood. That's crashingly loud for Derek. Styles peers over his shoulder, and sure enough, there's Derek's grumpy face and grumpy hair and his leather jacket, which by Styles' count has been punctured by at least 3 supernatural creatures, probably more, and yet it still looks mostly the same, like he invests in magic, invisible duct tape or something. Stop taking it out on Erica, whatever you're pissed at, whether it's me or the world in general. Derek's frown gets deeper and more suspicious, and he works his way over to the desk, leaking cold night air, expression genuinely confused. Why? What did Erica say? Dude, I'm not getting her in trouble, Styles says. But since she got a handle on her inner werewolf, the only time she acts like she wants to shred people into ribbons is when you're treating your betas like your own personal whack-a-mole game. I'm the one that gets the long, unpleasant aftermath, and I'm the one that has to watch them in school. Also, that's a totally dick thing to do. You know that. If you like Erica, Derek says stiffly, with what Styles thinks is a completely uncalled for amount of growl underneath, I can ask her to come check on you instead. That's what you got from that. Seriously? Because you clearly don't want. Derek snaps and then clenches his teeth as if he was going to say more but stopped himself. Styles swivels his chair to face him. Don't want what? You stalking around? Because I didn't say that. I didn't mean. I don't get this weird new you, okay? The helping and then showing up at random moments when I'm in peril, like I'm Lois Lane or something? Because, seriously, if I completely discount the way you sometimes look at me like you want to strangle me to death, I'd have to hazard a guess that you like me and that this is some sort of weird, angry courtship. Styles is laughing. He can't help it. Derek's face seems weirdly neutral all of a sudden, as if he's forcing himself not to make any sort of expression at all. Styles stops laughing. That's not. He thinks he should probably say something because his staring is really incriminating for both of them. Oh my God, is that what this is? Do you have a. For me? Seriously? For a second, Styles thinks he's completely wrong and Derek is going to laugh in his face or make some sort of disgusted noise at the thought of it. But instead, there's this haunted, guilty expression, quickly followed by a tightness that makes Derek look like he's regretting everything in his whole life. That's insane, Styles says simply, because it is. This is Derek. This is Derek who doesn't like anyone. Hold on. You have to give me a minute for this to sink in. Oh my God. Seriously? He shakes his head because he's genuinely having trouble with this. Derek likes him. Derek has a thing for him. Holy crap. He's an idiot. Derek made him pancakes. Of course he likes him. Why didn't you say anything? What am I saying? It's you. Of course you're not going to say anything. It's pretty obvious from his face that Derek thinks he's mocking him, expression twisted between angry and misery. Forget it, he says, words drop like lead weights, and he makes for the window. Styles meets him halfway there, awkwardly straightening his good arm across it. No, we're not forgetting anything. Do you have any idea how stunned I am right now? I'm trying to, fit this into my worldview, because I'm me and you're you, and you clearly have no idea how insane that is, judging by your angry face. You should probably try and do something about the angry face. Styles realizes belatedly that he hasn't really done anything yet, but called Derek insane and blurted out a few random sentences which probably didn't make any sense. I thought this whole thing was just you stalking me because you couldn't cope with being in debt thing. I thought you were just waiting for a chance to get rid of it or reluctantly spend time with me in some sort of awful attempt to force yourself not to hate me for the good of our mutual cooperation thing we have going on. You're an idiot, Derek supplies, but a lot of the anger that usually goes with that is missing. It mostly sounds confused and defensive now. Styles lets his arm fall, but Derek doesn't try to escape into the night, which he takes as a good sign. Well, you've seen you in the mirror, and I'm a teenage boy, so you must know that I'm not in any way averse to you, with the liking, with the whole werewolf smelling thing that's probably fairly embarrassingly obvious. Obvious all over the place. Oh my God, let's not talk about that right now. But I mean, everyone probably has a thing for you, right? You could have become awkwardly attached to any one of them. Only, really, me? You probably hate that, don't you? So yeah, I can understand the not saying anything. I don't hate it. Derek is still biting on his words like they're in interrogation. You keep saving me. You keep helping, even when I tell you not to, when I give you every reason not to, and you're always there. It's impossible to ignore you, and I don't always want to. The last part of that is said through his teeth, and so grudgingly that Styles wants to laugh, because from anyone else, this would be maybe an acknowledgement of tentative friendship, but for Derek, this is something else entirely. But I don't know how to do this, Derek finishes, low like it pains him to admit it, or like it embarrasses him to admit it. I don't know if I can, if I can just. He makes an angry gesture that doesn't mean anything to Styles, but then doesn't say anything else at all. You could kiss me, Styles says, because it's honestly the first thing that comes into his head. He hadn't actually realized what it would sound like out loud, what he was suggesting, because the words, "You could kiss me," and the thought of Derek actually kissing him, there are oceans between those two things. Derek looks at him, and Styles can see the slow, deep breath he takes at the words. Styles suspects he's thinking about it, possibly considering whether it's a terrible idea or not. Whether he's going to give this whole thing up now, Styles has reminded him that there will have to be actual physical touching. Styles is genuinely afraid that's exactly what's going to happen, right up to the moment that Derek fists a hand in his shirt and pushes his mouth down over his. Maybe a second or two after that, if Styles is being honest. But that's mostly shock. Styles is a little too eager, and he's probably not coming over the sort of suave man of the world that he'd like. But Derek easing him back against the wall where he thumps gently, though not quite gently enough, and he breaks away from Derek's mouth with a gasp and a wince, Derek's jerking away. Fuck, sorry, I'm sorry. Derek's mouth is curled up in disgust, though not at Styles, at himself. It's fine, Styles says hurriedly, even though it's obviously not, because he sounds breathless and he's holding himself carefully still. Derek's hand lifts. Styles where Styles' neck meets the stretched material of his shirt, and he manages not to flinch when Derek's palm curves wide over the skin. It does take him a second to realize that the gnawing thumb of pain Derek had woken is gone. Styles had almost forgotten they could do that. You did that. After the thing. All of you, he says quietly. Because he remembers how bad it hurt, so much worse at the hospital, even after they'd given him the good drugs. Yeah, Derek doesn't offer any more than that, but his fingers don't leave Styles' skin, still lightly pressing against the bare slant of his shoulder, thumb pressing gently on the fragile skin over his collarbone. I shouldn't be doing this, he says at last, and it's clear he doesn't mean the whole skin-touching pain relief thing. What? No, you should. You absolutely should. Styles' fingers are in danger of slipping under Derek's shirt, and he thinks that if they're kissing now, he's probably allowed. He's probably allowed to put his hands all over Derek's stupid muscles and warm skin, which suggests something has gone wrong with the universe. Not that Styles is going to complain. He's just going to wing it until the universe notices. Hopefully never. Because no one has actually wanted to touch me before. That hurts to admit to someone who actually maybe does want to touch him more than he thought it would. Just the fact that you're going to do it and then stop? Dude, I'm pretty sure that even you're not that much of a dick. You're stupid if you believe that no one wants to touch you. Derek grumbles, but he's already backing off, jaw clenching like it's not as easy as he wants it to be. Styles doesn't know how to stop him, can't quite make himself dig his fingers in Derek's clothes and haul him back. No one ever said anything anyway. Styles corrects. He clears his throat. Please, just, I don't even know what's going to happen if you leave. That maybe you'll decide you went temporarily insane and... No, Derek says roughly. It's been weeks since before the crash. I can't be around you anymore without wanting. He glares at Styles pointedly rather than finish that sentence, which Styles is disappointed about because he really wants to know what exactly Derek wants to do to him. Everyone knows, Derek says at last, frustrated, irritated, accepting. Styles doesn't even know anymore. Until what he actually said registers. Everyone knows, Styles says faintly. It takes a while for that to work its way around his brain and sink in. Everyone knew except me. That comes out tighter than he means, verging on angry, because seriously... Derek looks at him like he's an idiot, as if it was his fault for not knowing, and not everyone else's fault for not telling him. Everyone is in so much trouble. I'm not going to change my mind, Derek says, firm and a little scary, and his face must show something because Derek's hands clench into fists, as if he's said too much and been slapped down for it. Unless you decide you don't want to. He finishes through his teeth. How in the name of hell did Styles miss Derek having any sort of feelings for him, let alone ones that could make him look like that? Styles just gapes at him uselessly. Derek does not take his gaping well, reads something into it that he didn't intend, because now he's doing that closing off thing, all stiffness and flat, blank expression. Derek? I have to go. Derek says fast, like he's trying to talk over something Styles isn't even saying. He hauls himself out the window without even letting them finish their freaking conversation. Styles is working on fixing his dislocated shoulder. It's not like he can jump out the window after him. God damn it. Derek makes himself suspiciously absent for the next few days, which is worrying. No, that's an understatement. Styles is quietly freaking out. At one point, he actually wonders, in something of a panic, if he hallucinated the whole thing on too much pain medication, but he's mostly been off of it for a week, so unless someone switched it out with something much stronger, or possibly hallucinogenic, then yeah, the whole thing definitely happened. Derek kissed him. He made it happen in some way, possibly in the same way those unrepeatable experiments happen. So either Derek is a huge liar and he's regretting the whole thing, like he specifically said he wouldn't, or he's been killed by some sort of vicious monster, or he's totally chickened out because he decided that he hates feelings and prefers not to have them. It's depressing that all of them are equally likely. This is Styles' life, vicious monsters and emotionally constipated werewolves. If someone had told him a year ago, no, seriously, if someone had told him any of this a year ago, he would have laughed and then immediately had them committed to the nearest psychiatric facility. Just when he kind of accepted the idea that Derek was into him, which, wow, that feeling had lasted a whole entire day. Scott tends to finish things before him at the moment, which hasn't happened since... Which has never happened, now that Styles thinks about it. Having him in the background getting cheese dust all over his stuff while Styles frustratedly makes his way through homework is a new experience. Everything still takes 3 times as long to type with only one hand, longer when Styles gets extra frustrated and starts just jabbing at the keys. He figured he could just settle his other arm in the right place and use it anyway, but it turned out that typing was definitely a no-go, and he was all for having this thing off as soon as possible. He'd been pissed about that ever since. Still, 2 weeks is nearly up, so there's something. "Have you seen Derek today?" Scott asks, eyebrows quizzically. As if that's a perfectly harmless question that Styles is expected to know the answer to. Which, okay, he does. No, I have not seen Derek today. I did not see Derek today, and I didn't see Derek yesterday, either, or the day before. Laptops are probably not made for this type of punishment. Scott frowns at him, and Styles can tell that he wasn't expecting the bite or the wounded sense of abandonment. He's kind of hoping the wounded sense of abandonment isn't coming through, to be honest, because that's just embarrassing. "Did something happen?" Scott seems to be working up to something like concern, which would be great and everything, but Styles isn't sure he wants to admit any of this yet. What the hell is he supposed to say, anyway? "Hey, yeah, Scott, me and Derek had a fight, and then he kissed me. We considered dating, and I was absolutely up for that, but he changed his mind like an hour later and then never spoke to me again." Trashy Soaks would discard scripts of Styles' life for being too unbelievable. "No," Styles shakes his head. "Nothing happened, just Derek being Derek, doing Derek things." Scott frowns. "Did you guys have a fight?" "Are we always fighting?" Styles wonders. "Isn't it the weird quiet moments of detente you should worry about? That's usually when the real shit's going down." Scott shoots him an oddly sympathetic look. "I don't mean like before fighting. I mean proper fighting. Now you are, unless you broke up." Styles stares at him for a disbelieving handful of seconds. Oh my god, when Derek had said everyone knows, he hadn't been joking. "You don't think someone should have told me that Derek was into me? You didn't think that was something I might have wanted to know?" Scott blinks. "You didn't know?" His expression right now seems to be accusing Styles of being the dumbest man alive. "You're kidding, right? You're messing with me. You know everything, like a week before everyone else. How could you not have known that? Is that what you fought about?" "We didn't fight," Styles snaps out, shoving his chair around slightly too hard and jarring his elbow, which just makes him more angry. "There is nothing between me and Derek. There was a whole lot of awkward personal interaction, which was pretty great, but now I think we're pretending it never happened." Scott winces, and then just sort of stares at him for a long minute. "Do you want me to?" He looks like the very idea of doing anything horrifies him, but he's offering in the name of friendship. "No," Styles says, then repeats it in several tones, before giving up and pushing his laptop shut. "No, dude, I am so not going to make any of this worse than it is." The sad face Scott makes in response to that makes Styles feel as if this is worse than he thinks it is, in some way he doesn't know about yet, which he really doesn't need right now. "Don't worry about it. Like, who's really going to happen?" He gives a careful shrug, then glances at the clock. "Didn't you have to meet Isaac at 7? "Crap!" Scott panics and collects his stuff, in what's probably the least efficient way possible, before standing awkwardly in the doorway with his open bag dangling precariously over his shoulder. "I can make the effort, you know, if that would help." Styles isn't sure he wants to smack Scott or himself. "No, really, no. I'll text you later. Just leave me alone." Styles finishes his assignment with frustrated determination and almost zero enthusiasm, then sprawls out on his bed in one of the 2 comfortable positions he can lie in now, and watches a movie, before throwing on more comfortable clothes and heading downstairs to make himself a drink. The house is quiet, but it still makes noises, ticks and creaks. Familiar, even if they do make him think about how many ghost stories are true when he's home alone at night. If werewolves and shape-shifting lizard monsters are true, why the hell not ghosts, zombies, vampires, wraiths, ghouls? Where the hell does it all end? When he gets back upstairs, Derek's lurking by the window. Did you wait for me to go downstairs so you could sneak in when I wasn't looking? Styles asks, with what he thinks is a calm tone of voice that Derek doesn't deserve. Derek doesn't say anything, but Styles thinks there's something guilty about the way he's standing. It's all very awkward for as long as it takes him to get back to his chair. Styles holds his steaming mug, but doesn't really try and drink any of it. Derek stares. I told you, didn't I? Styles says at last, voice carefully bland. I told you that if you'd left, you'd do the brooding thing, and you would think all life choices, and stew in some sort of fog of torment and angst, decide it was all a horrible idea. You know how much work I am on a regular basis? I didn't, Derek glares at him. Really? A fog of torment? It's what you do, isn't it? With the whole... Styles gestures at the whole outfit and hair and broody glare. Thing! With the lurking in the distance. I didn't change my mind. Derek says stiffly, hard turning them back to the beginning. I was just giving you time for your shoulder to heal and to think about things. If you really wanted to do this, Derek shrugs, and it's the most self-conscious movement Styles has ever seen him make. The noise Styles lets out is nothing like the amused irony he was going for. He sets his drink down so hard it splashes hotly across his knuckles. Oh, I had an awesome time thinking about things, he bites out. Thinking about how you pretty much made yourself unavailable after kissing me? There was really no way to misinterpret that. That was great. Thanks for that. Derek pulls a face like the thought hadn't even occurred to him, and suddenly, Styles is trying to cope with frustrated anger that's taking on an edge of dizzy hope. Everyone thinks we're dating, he adds. That we've been dating for I don't even know how long.
I told you that already.
No, you told me everyone knows, which is vague and open to interpretation, and Derek clearly doesn't want to hear any more of his arguments, so he settles for pushing Styles back until he knocks into the wall, gentler this time, and a hand and on his left shoulder. And then Derek's kissing him. Styles doesn't fight it, but he's still muttering about how Derek is the dumbest person who ever lived, who shouldn't get to just come in here and kiss him and think that everything's fine. Until Derek makes it physically impossible to talk. But Styles doesn't really care, because his mouth is occupied in the best way, and there's a hand on the back of his neck, squeezing every few seconds like he can't help himself. Derek's mouth is ruining him for everything else. He's going to be the person Styles judges everyone else against, and that is completely unfair. Styles does eventually have to pull away so he can breathe. Not far, though. Not far enough to look like he doesn't want to kiss him again. You're an ass, he says quiet and breathless, and so much more forgiving than it would have been a second ago, mostly because it's hard to be anything else after that. Yeah, Derek agrees. Sometimes I don't get things. That's something of an understatement, but Styles thinks Derek's working on it. It comes to Styles, slower than usual, that he's pressed against the wall of his bedroom and clothes he wears to bed, by this stupidly attractive older werewolf he's been aggressively crushing on, and he's more than halfway to fully hard. He's not quite sure how that wasn't obvious before, but now it definitely is. Styles says eloquently, then tips his head back far enough to get words out. If everyone thinks we're dating, he manages.
You said that already, Derek says.
Styles clears his throat. I think it was important enough to make a point of twice. Then everyone thinks we've... He stopped, not sure how to actually say it.
Yes, Derek agrees,
which makes Styles suddenly breathless, because Derek knows what he was going to say. Would you? He starts uncertainly. Derek's eyes go briefly, sharply red.
What do you think?
Okay, Styles says simply, and even he doesn't know whether he's acknowledging that or agreeing to vague future possibilities. Either works for him. Especially when Derek's hands are suddenly on his waist and he's kissing him again, slower than before, tugging him in a little so his back isn't pressed against the wall, but his chest is carefully held away from where Styles' arm still rests in the sling.
Styles gives an annoyed little huff and then pulls him in tighter. Derek's hands are slipping low enough that every breath comes out shaky. The waist of Styles' pajama pants is absolutely no match for the combination of gravity and Derek's warm fingers, which shorts out his brain a little, because even that tiny shove of fabric somehow registers as Derek undressing him, and he's not sure how to cope with that. Not sure how to cope with how much that feels like a prelude to something. Sort of makes him want to haul Derek closer with his good hand and do something embarrassing, possibly something vocal and embarrassing. Begging may be involved. Derek's fingers are spread low on his stomach, fingernails scraping lightly in a way that slams straight through him, teasing at the edge of his pants. Styles is pretty sure Derek wants to touch his dick, and he's completely and absolutely down with that. He lifts his hand until he can dig his fingers into Derek's arm. Could we do that? I think that would be awesome. Styles wets his mouth and gives a sort of tug on Derek's elbow. Don't say awesome if you want to convince me, Derek says, but his hand's moving now, turning, knuckles dragging over the skin just below Styles' waist, and Styles is holding his breath and listening to his heart pound as he tugs a little more, giving appreciative hums of sound. Your shoulder, Derek says, like that's supposed to mean something. Oh, right. Fuck my shoulder, Styles says simply. Also, you're touching me. You're doing the touching thing. Touching is good. Derek must get something out of his babble because his hand is slipping down, warm and bigger than his own, and curving exactly right around him. It makes all his breath shudder out in one go, fingers tightening, whole body tightening and easing forward into Derek's grip. Touching is really, really good. Oh my! Styles tugs and grunts and gets Derek's mouth down over his, hard sighing out something that sounds like surrender, like Derek wants this just as much as him, which is insane and kind of flatteringly amazing and confusingly hot. There are really just too many emotions to get a handle on right now. Styles decides to just ignore them all and concentrate on the way Derek's hand moves on him, while the other slides down the back of his pants and curves over his bare ass. Styles is breathing, hot and damp, against the rough curve of Derek's jaw, one hand still buried in the hair at the back of his neck. I'm gonna come, he says quietly, so fast, but don't stop, just don't stop doing anything. You want this? Derek asks, low like it's important for him to say. His hands aren't so firm anymore, sliding over Styles' skin like he just wants to touch him without getting him off. Yes. Styles drags the word out, tightens his fingers, tries to push up or back or something. He wants that aggressiveness back, the way Derek touched him to start with. Derek must understand, or maybe he's just waiting for an answer, because everything after that is rougher, all edges. Styles has to ease away from Derek's mouth, dragging air desperately, and then swear when it all shakes out of him, when he drops his head down and washes himself come over Derek's fingers. Fuck, he says shakily, sweaty hands clenching in Derek's shirt, and Derek kisses his panting mouth like he can't help it, sticky hands sliding up Styles' stomach, dragging the waistband of his pants with it. Derek groans against his throat, and Styles can hear the snap of a button and the rasp of a zipper. I want to see you, Styles says, tugging at Derek's shirt and nudging him back with shaky, numb fingers, when he shoves the front of his jeans down, until Styles can see the pale slope of Derek's stomach and the thick jut of his cock, angry red and leaking. He takes a shuddery breath and thinks, yes, for no particular reason, or maybe every reason. But then Derek's hand lifts and wraps loosely around himself, and Styles' stomach twists and clenches. And he's pushing Derek's hand out of the way and replacing his fingers with his own, curl and grip, and it's a rigid line of heat, aggressive and real. Jesus, Derek huffs out, shocked like he didn't expect it. Derek is heavy in his hand, and it's strange from this angle, with the wrong hand, but Derek pushes into his grip like he can't help it, fingers tight onto Styles' waist, and even though he's just come, everything feels warm and close and tight, and Styles is almost certainly going to get hard again. But right now he's watching Derek's face react to the squeeze and shift of his hand, and he doesn't want to get distracted. Derek grunts and takes a stumbling step forward, like he wants to come on him, which is furiously hot, and Styles makes a crackled noise and tightens his fingers, movements a little quicker, because he's completely okay with that. "Kiss me again," he demands, and he must be doing something right, because Derek is uncharacteristically obedient, mouth pressing over his own and opening, and everything is hard and wet, and he can feel how close Derek is in the way he's breathing. Derek pushes Styles' shirt up, moves closer, carefully easing his injured arm aside, until Styles' free hand is trapped between them, still moving, the curl of it shifting back into the harder pushes of Derek's hips, and Styles can feel the wet smear of it against his own skin, which is dirty, hot, and perfect. "You want to come on me?" Styles says, words dry and raspy and embarrassment hot. Derek growls agreement, like he doesn't have any words left, body rocking into Styles, his shirt shoved up an extra few inches until it's bunched under his armpits. Derek presses Styles into the wall again, pins him there, hands curving him back, and Styles goes with the movement, lets Derek press against him. His hand covers Styles, closes it together, and it only takes a few more strokes before Derek's coming, pressing into him and leaving his stomach wet over and over. Styles can feel it against his skin, under the spread of Derek's palm. His hand still moving, stroking the slow, tense muscle of Derek's stomach, and his hip bone, and the softening line of his dick. He can't make himself stop. He doesn't want to stop. This is pretty much the best thing that's ever happened to him. He's even calling the fact that he only has the use of one arm an unexpectedly exciting turn of events. He doesn't know what the hell is up with that. Derek's still kissing him, shaky and hard, murmuring words that Styles can't quite catch. He suspects it's something to do with how this is all his fault, probably, and how Derek should have known better, so Styles makes it his personal mission to kiss him until he's not making them anymore. "So yeah," he says eventually, mostly into the roughness of Derek's throat. "That was that. We did that. That was a thing we do, right? That's a thing with us. Where we're a thing now?" Styles, stop talking. Styles is grinning into his skin. He can't help it. "That's a yes, isn't it?" "That's a yes," Derek grumbles. And Styles is pretty sure. He's the only person who can sound that harassed after an orgasm. But Styles discovers that he can kiss him until it goes away. And Derek's just making crack noises in his throat. Which he thinks is a power he might have to abuse the hell out of. The end. This has been Aversion Therapy by Entangled Now, written for Teen Wolf Reverse Big Bang. Original story text can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/640186.